Pastor Michael, we've been in a season on questions related to the spiritual realm. So today's question is, what are spiritual strongholds?
Yeah, have you ever heard people talk about strongholds? Like, there's a spiritual stronghold on
yes.
my family. You
yes.
know? And, yep. and so I think the fair question would be, how does the Bible use it? So the term comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So let's read verses 4 and 5, and this is kind of the origin of the term. Verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." So this is the only time it's used in the New Testament. So what is a stronghold? Technically, a stronghold is a fortified structure to keep people in and to keep enemies out. Okay, so I want my people in. I want to keep the enemies out. And so obviously, the Apostle Paul is not talking about physical strongholds because we're talking about a spiritual war. And so here's the deal. In the war, we as believers, we're destroying strongholds. We're destroying these walls, right? What are they? Well, thankfully, the text tells us. He says in verse 5, we destroy arguments. So arguments are a stronghold, right? It keeps people stuck in their terrible ideas, which is a part of demonic warfare. So the last episode we did before this, we saw that. It says we destroy arguments. This is one stronghold. Every lofty opinion, okay? You ever have any opinions or heard people give opinions that are dumb, right? They're just, it's my opinion, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
That's a stronghold. It keeps you stuck in a terrible idea. And the idea is that people are stuck in this fortress that a demon or a demonic realm has created around them. And we got to break down the strongholds so that they can get out. Okay. And so one of them is arguments. Another are lofty opinions. And they're lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God. So they're ideas that are against God's clear teaching in the word. And then he says this, and we take every thought captive. Okay. So where are the strongholds taking place?
In
people's minds.
Yeah.
So what the Apostle Paul understands is that so much of spiritual warfare is a battle for the mind. And the idea is that people, there is like a wall built around their minds, and it's a demonic wall. And it's really, really hard to get through. Like, have you ever just talked to somebody who is irrationally wrong and so obviously logically wrong, and you can't even like get through it because there's a stronghold around their brains or their mind. And that stronghold is a demonic stronghold. And we have to figure out now, okay, how do we get through this? And it requires quite a bit of wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit to gently destroy strongholds. And what I find practically is that when you're trying to take down a stronghold in someone else's mind, that it is brick by brick. It is patiently. Sometimes somebody realizes they're in a stronghold and they kind of start pushing from the inside out and they're like, no, I got to get these walls down. Usually that's how you know that the Holy Spirit is drawing them to him, to Jesus, is because they start to get this self-awareness that this intellectual framework that they have cannot sustain a happy life, a joyful life, a productive life, and it's incongruent with healthy living society and reality, most importantly.
So I was going to say, I mean, it almost always requires a ton of grace and a tender heart, and like bringing a battering ram to someone's stronghold is probably not the way to go. But just our human inclination is to do that. Like we try to fight fire with fire, so to speak. And that's usually not the way to go.
You could win an argument and take a brick or a bunch of bricks off of someone's stronghold. And then they can just be like, I didn't like that. I lost. I'm going to put them back. You know, or I'm not ready to be wrong. So then they just put them back. And that's kind of the nature of it, is you can do your best, but every person does. Like if you're in a stronghold, every person, I don't care who you are, you have the freedom by God. You have this thing called the will. Okay. And so you have the freedom at any moment to stop and say, is that idea true? Is that idea good? Is that idea logical? So like every time you and I or anybody's in a conversation with somebody who just refuses to engage in logic or truth or reality, they have the actual ability by God in that moment to stop. Right. They have the ability to say, you know, I'm going to rein in the emotions and I want to just allow you to challenge this idea, because if you're wrong, I have nothing to lose. And if you're right, I have everything to gain.
Right.
So the problem is that people in strongholds don't do that typically well. The reason that they have such a big wall around them is because they've permitted the demonic realm to build brick by brick this wall around mm-hmm. them. They haven't exercised these, we'll just say, use of logic, will, common sense to engage and make sure before they put a brick onto their wall. Like, is it on my wall because it was a really compelling TikTok video? Or was this brick put into my wall because I thought about it, mm-hmm. because it's logical, because yeah. I tested it?
Yeah.
And that's where, as Christians, we want to make sure that every idea that we have, everything that we believe is true, we want to make sure and test them, especially yeah. if they're bigger ideas.
Yeah.
And then if somebody comes along and says, can I challenge that, but from the Word of God? We go, I have nothing to lose. Open up the Word of God, right? Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
Because if it is true, it'll stand the test of anybody's challenge.
Yeah.
And if it's not true, then you shouldn't have believed it in the first place.
Yeah. So. And I grew up learning some things that I thought were true. And then upon further investigation into the Word of God, they weren't the best ideas.
Yeah.
And that's okay. My identity is not in being right. I just want to move closer to truth and reality.
Yeah.
As revealed in the Word of God as I possibly can.
What are some of the ways that like these spiritual strongholds are maintained? Like, how do they grip us so strongly?
Yep. I taught on this a while back, and I identified six areas or mechanisms that kind of protect the demonic strongholds around people's brains. And so the first one is propaganda. And propaganda are just these statements that get repeated over and over and over and over again from quote unquote reliable sources. And the more you hear them, like in propaganda, if you defect from the popular repeated talking points by the powerful people, then you're like socially isolated. So like our self-preservation mechanism is such that I do not ever want to go against the popular view of major ideas. An interesting one, just for fun, right? To deny that we went to the moon 5 years ago, right? You'd be a lunatic, right? And now everyone's like, did we go to the moon? I mean, how did they get past the Van Allen radiation belt? Like, I think we need to rethink this. And why didn't NASA destroy all whatever? You know, so like, mm-hmm. so now this is funny because there's been propaganda for years and enough people kind of broke through that now people are questioning. And I hope whatever answers people get, it's based in truth and reality and logic and wisdom. It's just an analogy, but like, yeah. Sometimes things kind of break culturally and, people, we have the ability to kind of enter into these yeah. discussions.
You know? Yeah. Yep.
Did people go to the moon? Didn't they? Right. Oh. Here's the second way, that spiritual strongholds are maintained. It's just through social pressure, and it is striking. Every little community has these ideas that if you go outside of them, you're done. Uh-huh. Right. And if you're in like a progressive mainline church and you're like, I think Jesus is the only way, then you're like toast, you know?
Yeah.
Or I think the Bible is the authoritative revealed word of God and we shouldn't change it, and you'd be done, right? Mm-hmm. And if you say, I don't think love is love and not all love is equal, and I think some love is actually sin, you'd be toast, right? But yeah. the social pressure so that you don't defect is
so you're not ostracized strong. And shunned. Yeah.
Yes. Another one is indoctrination. And let's be straight. I'm indoctrinating my kids. You're indoctrinating your kids. The churches, liberals are, conservatives are, Satanists are indoctrinating their kids. But like indoctrination doesn't stop when you're a kid. Institutions are designed to indoctrinate and to repeat these ideas. And so you take propaganda and social pressure and institutional indoctrination. It is hard to be objective. And when all of these institutions are run, we'll just say by people who don't love the word or Jesus, it's really, really easy for a lot of terrible ideas to kind of creep in.
Yeah.
Here's another one is the slow dismantling of God's systems. God's systems are the family, the church, and the government. And so if I'm the devil, I want to break these down so that they no longer have the power they used to. And if you want to destroy a society, right, and you want the culture to be the one that primarily forms them, well, we take away family, the primary formational space for the human mind. You take away the church, you take away even just a healthy, limited government. Well, now you have like chaos. Now the prince of the power of the air, the God of this world, can now use social media, you name it, to do that.
Yeah.
A fifth way is the exploitation of tragedies. And so tragedies are now global. And it's interesting what becomes a tragedy and what doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. So all these Christians are being slaughtered in Africa right now, right? Yeah. But that's not a big deal. But you can pick another tragedy and be like, well, this is huge, right? And why this and why that? Like, you realize the media is picking our tragedies right. for us.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And so, like, I want to say to people, okay, why don't you rise above the tragedy that media and pop culture are telling you to obsess about? And why don't we say, God, what actually is happening? Where do you want my efforts focused? Because here's the deal. I can't focus on more than one or two tragedies at a time.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm one human being. I've got a limited mind. But the way these tragedies are framed by the prince of the power of the air and the cultural mechanisms, it's almost like if you're not on board with our tragedy, and usually behind each one of these tragedies that get, we'll just say, platformed,
mm-hmm.
is a demonic idea.
Yeah.
BLM. I'll say it out loud, right? Like, I'm sorry, but all the founders of that movement got rich and they were corrupt, and their explicit statements to destroy the family unit. I'm sorry. The amount of racism that came out of that. I'm not saying there wasn't racism before that, but like, I mean, not good. COVID, enough said, right? We could go on and on and on, and I don't want to polarize our audience too much, but I would just say whenever there's a tragedy, okay, it could be elections, it could be immigration-based, it could be COVID, it could be BLM, it could be right, it could be left. You need to just pause and say, why is the machine want me obsessed with this?
Yeah.
And what does the machine get for it? Because the machine had to pick, mm-hmm. right? And the machine had to pick from 1,000 global tragedies, and these are the ones they're pushing. I got to ask why, but that's part of, we'll just say, the system to keep strongholds in place.
There definitely is an element of, like, if you don't feel outrage about the right things that everybody else is feeling outrage about, that you're like, wait, is something wrong with me that, like, yeah. I'm like, I don't see this as like the to the scale of tragedy that everybody else does. But yeah. like, that's what you're saying, is that yeah. we're being trained and like, we're being brainwashed yeah. to feel groomed a certain way about yeah. certain things, right? Yeah. yeah.
You know what's yeah. funny is before really the 20th century, all of humanity lived in a bubble of information mm-hmm. that was pretty much limited to
your community
and maybe within a few months you get information about your country, and maybe within a year or something globally, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And now it's everything immediate, and yeah. there's power. Whoever controls that mechanism and those messages has power.
Yeah.
And I just don't have the heart to carry every tragedy as prominent in my mind. Mm-hmm. So the last one is cultural mantras and repeatable sacred feel-good statements that keep minds captive.
Mm.
And we just got to be aware that whenever there's a one-liner that we just end up repeating over and over again, it's probably came from someone else. It might not be true, and we need to test it.
Yeah. Always have to be able to evaluate it, right?
Yep.
What are some examples of ideas that are spiritual strongholds that are affecting people's minds, affecting our minds? What are some examples?
Goodness gracious. So Islamic fundamentalism, we'll just go there. Okay. So there is this violent religion that seeks to take over the world, right? This is not a mystery. If they were being honest, they would tell you, yeah, our goal is to take over by jihad or otherwise, right? Our goal is to have one world under Allah. You're either with us or against us, right? Got it. Think about the stronghold that you have to have to live in that system mm-hmm. and justify like the things that they do to keep that to women and children and to people who are not Muslim around the world. Like, it's if ever there was a stronghold, that would be one. Or you think about the abortion movement, and when you talk to people who are fighting for the abortion movement, it is the most illogical, unscientific movement, period.
Mm.
But they're so passionate about it that you can't break through and have a reasonable discussion. Like, so it's okay to kill a human? I'm sorry, but they can't even get there. They're so these strongholds are protecting them, so we can't even engage. It is really hard, if not almost impossible, to have a healthy dialogue with a fundamentalist Islam, Muslim, or with somebody who is just knee deep in the pro-choice abortion defense movement. Critical race theory is, I just think, one of those things that you go to college and these people are indoctrinated with it, and it is fundamentally evil. It is racist. It is designed to, like a virus, infiltrate an entire culture and then destroy it from the inside out. It's just a bad virus, right? Mm. But it's so deep that trying to have a conversation with people, it's so in their brains. It's just really challenging. We go on and on, but these strongholds are there to keep people enslaved.
Yeah.
So that the evil one may steal, kill, and destroy. Communism, Marxism, socialism, any version of that is demonic. I mean, everywhere it is implemented, it's just people die. No system is perfect, but it's like, it is of all the bad, it's one of the worst.
Yeah.
But right now, the next generation is uniquely vulnerable and susceptible to it.
Yeah.
That's our kind of cultural moment.
Yeah.
So we have to be just very careful of ideas that steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
So if someone ends up dead after my idea, it's probably not good, you know? And right there, you could probably like have a whole bunch of really bad ideas that you have be revealed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's clear you don't have to look very far to realize that we're in a battle mm-hmm. for our minds. Everywhere yep. we look in our next generation, like as parents, we see like what things are trying to be introduced to our children, but it's not always easy to see when it's things targeted at us as adults.
I also right? think I'm pretty smart, so I'm like above it, but I'm not.
Yeah, we're not.
That's the thing.
Yeah, that's what, again, we need the Holy Spirit and we need the Word of God yeah. for wisdom and discernment. And we need to be asking for that wisdom yeah. and discernment and to be able to also how to ask for wisdom for how to navigate those conversations with people that maybe they're not willing to listen to logic or reason, but like we still need to be able to dialogue and we still need to be able to talk to them in loving, gracious ways and eventually try to like start being able to have some common ground where we can help them understand the yeah. truth.
Yeah. I mean, one huge like piece of advice that I would give to everybody is if you're a believer in Jesus, engage in dialogues where you're not defensive and you're just open, but especially mm-hmm. when it comes to culture and different things, allow people who have thought about it to speak into your life. Allow someone to be smarter than you. Allow yourself to be wrong. Like I'm trying to subject myself to believers who have different ideas from me on a regular basis. I don't want to hold on to an idea just because I took a position one time. Like
yeah.
I am not above being wrong. And so I think so many Christians are afraid or don't know how to have really vulnerable discussions where they allow another opinion to be contrary to theirs, to be yeah. considered, and for them to even maybe they're not even totally wrong. Maybe you're partially wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think if you are not able to have healthy, non-combative discussions and debates with people who don't agree with you, you are never going to have the best ideas and thoughts about culture and reality
yeah.
and the Word. And so I think that idea, like, the free market of ideas of debates, you know what I mean? It's like why so many people love Charlie Kirk because he just fostered an environment of talking
yeah.
and debating
yeah.
and yes, but yes, but yes, but yes, but
yeah. exchanging ideas.
Mm-hmm. It's actually one of the ways that we grow the most. But so many Christians need to be right. And I'm like, you don't need to be right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just wrong all the time. My views over the last 5 years, I'm trying to just keep an open heart and mind to some of these cultural issues and like my views are shifting and new information comes and I got to make sure it's not AI driven and propaganda. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that's its own. I mean, goodness gracious. Like yeah. the AI propaganda that we're about to engage in the next 3 to 5 years, 1 to 3 years. I mean, we're going to have to come up with a solution because it's, mm-hmm. it's going to be bad.
Yeah. And I think like really, I think it all boils down to, it sounds simple, but you know, it's our pride that we don't want to let things go. We don't want to be wrong. Mm. And to have a position of humility and graciousness, like, and the culture, as you described in the near future, and as it's always been, like being humble and gracious will get you so far in discussions with people that disagree with you and that do have these strongholds that are hard to dismantle. Just being humble
yeah.
and being willing to be wrong, which I know nobody likes, but
it's a thing.
Being able to have discussions and honest evaluation of your own beliefs.
Yeah.
And I think other people are a lot more willing to have conversations whenever they're like, oh, I see that he is willing to actually consider his own perspective and he's not attacking me.
Yep.
We're just discussing. So. Yep.
So if someone's listened this long, then they can handle one more thought. One of the ways that we prevent ourselves from hearing other perspectives is by requiring somebody to say it in a way that we will listen.
Hmm.
Some people are animated. Some people are quiet. Some people are reflective. Stop controlling people and telling them that if you don't say it in a way that makes me feel good, then I'm not going to listen. Stop it. If it's a good idea and it's good logic and it's rooted in reality, good data, or the Word of God, like take it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like my brothers and I, we like to banter, you know, and then there's some people who are like, don't speak until I'm done speaking. And I'm like, okay, I won't speak until you're done speaking. I wasn't trying to offend you. I'm just like, I like to banter. You like, you know, me, then you. And so these are all little ways that we just need to grow up and stop creating all these arbitrary like requirements before we will listen to someone.
Yeah.
Amen. No one's going to do it perfectly.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you. And as you said, if people are still listening this long, then they're clearly like into what we're talking about.
The godliest of people.
So I appreciate your perspective and helping us think through all of that. So thank you, Pastor Michael. Mm-hmm.